This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. I'm Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee. With me, as always, from ESPN West Palm, Brian Rowitz. And no, Jay Hood, I am not going to tell you the story of the Scorpion and the Frog. All you have to do is really watch any television show that's been made since the year 2000, and at some point, I'm sure they're going to reference it. In fact, it was just recently referenced in an episode of Succession, so feel free to go ahead and watch that and learn all about the Scorpion and the Frog. From ESPN 1000 in Chicago, he is Jonathan Hood.
I can learn it on any of those platforms or Monday Night.
Yeah, why not? Monday Night Raw. that's the place where fables exist. We're not going to start with Monday Night Raw. Instead, we are going to start with the guy who, despite not appearing on our televisions for the past 9 months, continues to make the biggest splashes, the biggest news across professional wrestling. Of course, we are talking about Phil Brooks himself, CM Punk. So, correct me if I'm going to try to speed through this as quickly as possible. If I miss any notes, feel free to stop me and insert any notes that you have. But from my understanding, with all the reporting going out there, whether it be Meltzer, whether it be Sean Ross Sapp, you know, all these different places, Punk was originally supposed to be a part of the announcement for Collision, for upfronts for Warner Brothers Discovery. As we found out, Collision was announced officially yesterday before AEW Dynamite, and suspiciously, CM Punk's name wasn't on there. And, you know, the way that they kept his initial entry into AEW, it was the worst kept secret. Everybody kind of figured, oh, okay, they're just kind of keeping this. Well, as the day goes along, more and more rumors come out. Apparently, he was supposed to be a part of it. He wanted a steal his buddy, who allegedly threw a chair at members of the Elite during Brawl Out, to come
back. There also was a rogue TNT press release that went out, Warner press release, that included his name. That was then rescinded, and they said, oh, no, he has no association with Collision. So,
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for filling that in. So apparently he thought that Ace Steel was going to be a part of this since AEW. There were rumors that Ace Steel was going to be a part, but not going to be allowed at the live tapings. Now the latest report I have seen is that Ace is no longer going to be a part of anything. He is not coming back to AEW. This somehow upset Punk, and now they're into some renegotiations again about him, Collision, and whatever the heck is going to happen going forward. Do I have all that correct? Did I get all that?
All that is correct. I have a couple other things to add. Reportedly, Ace was rehired a couple months ago, but he's not allowed on the road. So there's that aspect also. Meltzer also reports that promotional material was made that included Punk. They had to rescind that. Punk on Instagram, because he has too much free time, I guess, and went off on reporters, Brian Alvarez being the key culprit there. So that is the latest in CM Punk, this week in CM Punk.
Okay, so is this just a work? Do we believe that the drama that exists, is this a work? Is it going to turn into a shoot? Do we believe this latest drama, or is AEW actually just trying to make this the worst kept secret and try to run this back the way they did with the first dance when he debuted on Rampage well over a year ago at this point?
So I'm a little torn. So part of me wants to give them the benefit of the doubt. We know that he's coming back. We know they booked the United Center, which they did not announce last night. They announced all the other Collision locations. But the first one, they're like, yeah, we'll get back to you on that one. We know all that. So instead of ruining the surprise, maybe this is the way to be like, uh-oh, maybe it's not going to work out. Maybe he's not going to be there. Maybe we're actually not going to see CM Punk return. And therefore, it's a surprise on June 17th, and here we go. But there's just been so much drama, and he has so many childish antics to the point where I said to a buddy this weekend, I know I'm setting myself up for disappointment, but I'm starting to get excited for that CM Punk return. I did not expect to be hurt before we even got to the actual return. So I'm going to say no, probably not a work at this point.
No, I'm with you. And the reason why I'm with you is because the whole Tony Khan element of this is weird. So he has this big announcement on Dynamite last week. The big announcement is next week we've got an announcement. And then they have upfronts, and Collision is announced at upfronts. It's not announced as part of Dynamite. So he still comes on Dynamite and doesn't really have an announcement. you know, just kind of. So I think that CM Punk and Chicago United Center was supposed to be that first announcement, because again, that's the worst kept secret. Everybody knows it's going to be at the UC on June 17th. And clearly the thought process being CM Punk is going to be behind it. My thought is ultimately they're going to work this out. Whatever is going on with Ace Steel, which, by the way, I saw Kaz tweet this out earlier, that no matter how any of this plays out, like, CM Punk's in the Homie Hall of Fame, because like he sticks up for his guys like you would not believe. And for whatever reason has decided that Ace Steel is worth more drama. So my guess is ultimately maybe this caught CM Punk by surprise. They just kind of had to take a step back, and ultimately it's all going to be fine. And next week we're going to find out that Punk's back. He's going to be there on June 17th. And then we all have to cross our fingers that we can last a month with any more drama coming out.
Well, we hope it's a work, right, guys?
Yes.
Yeah. We hope it's a work, because you remember the last time, you know, at the United Center, I was there. Everybody knew it was the worst kept secret in the business that CM Punk was going to be in AEW. So the hope is that this is all a work. If this is a work, clearly CM Punk doesn't care about wrestling media, because he continues to just badger Brian Alvarez, right? So when Punk does come back, he won't have many friends in the wrestling media. He doesn't really care about that. The whole Ace Steel thing is interesting, too. I don't know why that has to be a deal breaker.
Right.
He's in the company, but yet not in the company. Like, he's on the payroll, but not around. Look, at some point, Tony Khan just has to be an executive and a grown up in this situation, right? Here's a different angle that we have not talked about. Does AEW guys really need CM Punk? Do they need them for this Saturday show?
Yes.
They already have stars. I remember I was about, I don't know, 2 years old when I saw the AEW become a juggernaut without CM Punk before he came to AEW.
So that's the thing. If it weren't for this Saturday show, I would say no. They can move on without him. The numbers haven't been great this summer, and you can blame the NBA and the NHL. They haven't been what they were with Punk, but I think they can work through that. You added a show where he's supposed to be the centerpiece, and you look at who they're promoting as the stars of that show: Miro, Samoa Joe, Thunder Rosa, FDR. No offense.
Andrade,
yes. So basically, it's the timeout show. If you're upset, if you're pissed off, hey, you can work the Saturday show. But that group on a Saturday night in the fall with college football, on a Saturday night when there's a big WWE premium live event, not really getting numbers. Like, they need CM Punk because of this extra show, because of an extra 2 hours of live TV they now have to produce.
And I keep seeing different things about whether or not they're actually going to do a brand split, if people are just going to kind of float. I doubt they come up with another world championship. My guess is they still have just the one. And depending upon storylines, my guess is you could be on Wednesdays or Fridays. Maybe you have a typical show you're on, but then everything, you know, just is kind of fluid. The way it's been kind of for the WWE prior to this latest draft that they had, where everything's kind of fluid, you can float back and forth. But if they're launching this show, in order for it to be successful, I think they need CM Punk. I'm with Brian. I think they need CM Punk for this second show to have any sort of shot at success. I mean, what's going to be success for this? 600,000? Are we talking NXT Tuesday night numbers?
Right.
Like, what is Warner Brothers Discovery going to deem successful? If they have CM Punk, they can get to me 500,000 to 600,000 people on a Saturday night. Or, I mean, I don't know how much DVR and that factors into the Nielsen ratings of how quickly you have to watch a post show. But if CM Punk is a part of that show, we know he draws eyeballs. Like, he draws eyeballs, and I think they need him. They don't have enough star power to me to put 5 hours of wrestling together.
You know, when we talk about ratings, we only talk about what the ratings in North America. That's all we talk about, and that's in television ratings. We don't talk about how well they're doing in streaming, which is pretty well, as a matter of fact. Rampage does better on DVRs than it does live. And you can understand why, right? The odd 5 p.m. Central start, or the odd 10 or 11 o'clock start. So apparently,
another weird one tomorrow.
Yeah, 6:30 Eastern tomorrow. Set your DVRs.
I'll be watching live, the way God wanted it.
the way the good Lord intended. Rampage live.
The way God wanted it. Watch live, damn it. Watch JR at 5:30. That's not happening. But guys, I mean, it's all encompassing. It's like what we talked about before. If Warner says, I want you to have 2 hours on Saturdays, and we'll get into what Collision should entail, man, you just have to take it. You just have to be smart with it. CM Punk, if they need him that much, then I'll tell you what. Then they should use him the way they should have used him at the beginning, and that is sparingly. He doesn't have to take on Lee Moriarty on a random Saturday. We don't need Punk in the ring. We need Punk to talk us into the building or talk us to the TV show. He's going to have a pipe bomb. Look out. He's going to talk about the, you know, what's happening in the back. Look out. It's going to be a shoot. You got to see it when, you know, when it appears on Saturday. That's what it's about. And then down the line, it sets up for a pay-per-view. Down the line, it sets up for a big event. They misused him early. I understand it was a big contract, but as Jim Ross told me, keep Paul special. If you keep him special, it'll be good. They didn't keep him special. He was wrestling, you know, just random rampages. That's not good.
Yeah, it's because he's a junkie, man. Like, he hadn't had a taste of pro wrestling in, you know, what, 7 years? It was, 9 years, whatever it was, from him being gone in WWE to reappearing in AEW. Like, the dude, we know how much he loves pro wrestling. He just got a taste for it. He's like, oh, I can wrestle Lita Moriarty on a Friday night? Yeah, let's do it. Why not? And, like, he went too hard too fast. Like, the way he should be wrestling as much as MJF wrestles. Like, MJF hardly ever wrestles, and it's fine. Like, it's fine because you still have MJF on TV. Like, MJF didn't say a word this week on Dynamite, and he was used perfectly fine. Like, I was fine with the way it all ended up playing out because he's just pissed off in the back. And you can use Punk in backstage segments. You can have him cutting promos, like you said. Like, he can still have a tremendous value without him wrestling with Danhausen in some weird tag team match on the House Rules circuit.
I'd sign up for that tag match, but like, do they need to like just change their mindset? Like, we talked about it a lot when it came to Punk's health. Like, are you going to get two main events out of him? Are you going to get Wembley and All Out? Do they need to look at it and say, hey, Wembley's happening. I know we're selling tickets. Let's give the fans something. Let's give them what ultimately will probably be Punk for Jericho and then be done with him. Like, does that just need to be the Tony Khan mindset at this point? Like, just get to Wembley and then it's like, all right, we got to move on.
So I'm assuming what his original contract was probably 3 years.
Yeah.
So I think they're trying to get, because for the longest time, it's like, okay, are they going to cut him? Oh, they don't want to cut him because maybe he goes to WWE. It seems like to me that Tony Khan, and again, this is just a complete guess, but with all the other talent that they have, it's a pretty bloated roster. We've talked about that. I don't know how much he's spending on talent, but it seems like a lot. And it seems, with the number of talent, again, Miro hasn't been on television forever. Andrade hasn't been on television in forever. And we're finally going to get a taste of these guys, hopefully, in with Collision. And more of these guys that, you know, don't get a lot of TV time on Wednesdays are going to have that opportunity on Saturdays. It's a pretty bloated roster. So when you have a bloated roster and then you have probably your highest paid guy, I don't think Tony Khan wants to just pay Punk to go away. I don't think he just wants to pay him to sit on the shelf. So I think Tony Khan came to the realization of, okay, if I'm spending X amount on Punk, I better find a way to use him, especially if I have these aspirations of doing a show in Wembley, having a Saturday show. He can be an asset to me if we can figure this out. Unfortunately, they haven't been able to figure out the drama, and hopefully I still have hope that they can still somehow figure it out and everybody can be happy and he can draw and fans can connect with CM Punk once again. Cause again, I'm still excited. Like, despite all this drama, I'm an idiot who's excited for CM Punk to come back and getting my hopes up that they're going to be able to tell fun, meaningful stories the way that they were able to before Brawl Out.
He just seems very pissy. And maybe that's by design. I mean, he's called himself like Mean Phil or gave himself a nickname, like his other persona.
Well, that's the thing. He's like self-aware about it all, and he just still can't help himself.
But that's the weird part, because like you mentioned Danhausen. Like, Danhausen has put on social that like Punk checks on him like weekly since he got hurt at the pay-per-view. Like, he calls and checks on him. He bought him like comic book. And I've talked to people that have worked with CM Punk in the MMA world. They're like, I don't get it. Like, I always hear him being an asshole. Like, he's one of the nicest people I ever worked with. Like, it's just very weird, the dynamic. Like, he's super loyal, like you said, to Ace Steel. But then you have the other side of it also, where it's self-sabotage. Like, just don't go on Instagram, and we have this billion-dollar deal reportedly set, and you're going to be a big star again.
I wonder if part of that with UFC was he wanted to learn. He wanted to give it a shot. He doesn't know. Like, but he thinks he knows everything there is to know about professional wrestling. You know, like, he just ask him. He's going to tell you. Like, he thinks that his ideas are the best. He thinks that whatever he's doing is going to be the best, and it seems that whenever it comes to professional wrestling, it's Punk's way or the highway. And maybe he needs to open up for that just a little bit.
I was I got into a YouTube deep dive of CM Punk as WWE champion. Some of those promos with people power, John Laurinaitis. boy, bad television. But it was the redeeming part is watching CM Punk interaction with him. CM Punk's interaction with Triple H. I just kind of just went through a deep dive, and it's like, you know, when CM Punk was WWE champion, I'm sure, as we know, he went through that same issues with people in the back. And it's kind of like our industry, right? When the light goes on, all three of us are having fun. Mm-hmm. It's when the light goes off where there are people are questioning and pulling you from different directions. The most fun thing for Punk probably is just to be able to be in the ring and talk. But it's when the lights go out, the drama in the back. And so he's not the greatest teammate to everybody. No. There's certain people that don't like him, that don't want him there, like the Elite. They don't want him around. But then there's the Danhausens and the young people and the women's division that really appreciate when he's in the back to give them some advice. It's quite a slippery sword. But, I mean, CM Punk, does he mean something to AEW? Yes. But I think he means something to AEW because we don't know what he's going to do next. I think the unpredictability is the thing, is the selling point more so than him in the ring for me.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, Punk is one of those guys who's a top-level talent, so you put up with more from him. Like, we see it in sports all the time. Like, in the famous, like, Jimmy Johnson quote where he cut a guy for sleeping in a meeting. They said, well, what if it was Michael Irvin? He goes, well, I go wake him up. Like, that's what Punk is. This isn't just some rando. Like, he is a star, and they're going to put up with stuff.
Will Punk, for lack of a better term, play out his contract with AEW?
Yes. Yes, he will. Yes. But he's got to take on Jericho and see the lights at Wembley first.
Well, will he play it out on TV?
Oh, he's going to say something. Yeah, absolutely.
Because I can see him being there for the duration of the contract, but I don't know if he's going to do enough on TV because he might be in timeout again.
So my question, Gabe, is does he show up at the United Center? Because, you know, if he doesn't, there's going to be a whole bunch of CM Punk chants. People will travel to see this event, first collision. So
if he's not there, you have to cancel June 17th. Like, if he's not there, turns out Collision doesn't debut on June 17th and debuts on June 24th.
You're not turning away 20,000 people.
No, can you imagine how, like, you cannot. Chicago is the Chicago, I mean, and I know they did Daly's Place, and Jacksonville was such a great place for them during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Home base for AEW is Chicago. But you can't convince me otherwise. Like, home base is Chicago. They have the flagship event there each and every year. When they have to have a tough show, oh, we'll go to Chicago because we know it draws. Oh, we're going to announce the first ever AEW New Japan Pro Wrestling Forbidden Door. Sells out in Chicago before you announce the damn match. You cannot, I repeat, cannot show up in Chicago on June 17th without CM Punk, without pissing off the biggest fan base that you have. If you show up June 17th, good luck getting a big old crowd for the Wednesday before Thanksgiving and having a hot crowd for that show that people are going to want to watch. Like, you cannot piss off the people of Chicago.
Well, it's not a coincidence. They have not been back to Chicago since Brawl Out. Like, they have not run Chicago with CM Punk in timeout. I don't think that's a coincidence.
They were there the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
But that was like Punk was still around, wasn't he?
No, that was after Brawl Out, because Brawl Out would have been September, and that was November.
All right.
That was the card where
Jericho and Ishii main evented, right?
Yeah, I believe that's the case.
Bleeding chest from the chops.
Yes, I believe it was that.
Which we had last night, by the way. Jericho's chest is just ripe for bleeding with chops. I don't understand.
That was Moxley also with the opening promo, if I'm not mistaken. Something like that. Okay. I think that's what it was. But yeah, it would be very difficult to run Chicago and Punk's not there. So this is why, to answer your question, is it a work? Yes. Okay. Yes, it is.
Well, you work it long enough, it becomes a shoot. All right, what do we have in the other three count? It's the other top three stories of the world of professional wrestling again. 1, 2, 3. We start with the three count. What do we have at number one, Brian?
The WWE.com today released their top 20 WWE debuts of all time. Top five coming at number five, Brock Lesnar in 2002. Number four, Ronda Rousey in 2018. Number three, Goldberg in 2003. Number two, Kane in 97. And number one, top in the list, 2012, The Shield. What is the top WWE debut of all time? Jay Hood already with the face.
You look very confused, Jay Hood.
The Shield.
Number one.
It's so bad. And they all, why? And why is that? Because Seth Rollins is about to be, you know, WWE number two heavyweight champion.
That's is only, he though?
And we saw, well, we saw the vignettes. Yeah. So, and very well done, by the way. Very well done by WWE. I love the fact that you had a sit down with Seth, which is good. That's part one of two, apparently. And then the JD McDonough thing. Like, that's what reels you in. The personality pieces, right?
But the McDonough thing was done after we saw him on TV.
Yeah, weird. Which was weird.
Like, weird. Did that before the Battle Royal, if you're trying to introduce us.
Yeah. But I liked it, though. I mean, before it used to be music videos, unlicensed music videos, music you're not supposed to use, and just, hey, the boys are back in town. And do like a 3-minute like video of a wrestler. But yeah, so I just thought it was strange.
Like the Shield, as much as I love the Shield, and I am a huge Shield mark, I still have my Shield T-shirt. Like I, you know, have my Shield nightlight that I go to bed to every night. I love the Shield.
That's not
right.
True.
That part's not true. But I love the Shield. Their debut was very confusing. Because if you remember, the debut came when CM Punk, when Phil Brooks was going up against Feed Me More. What's his name? The big Ryback. Old meathead, Ryback.
Ryback, yeah.
Ryback. And they they showed up and they beat the crap out of Ryback. And I'm going, I didn't watch NXT at the time, right? Like it's not like it was now, you know, you had to dig for it. And everyone's going, who are these guys? And Michael Cole's like, oh, it's these guys from NXT. And like, okay. And they ended up being really cool. Like it was awesome. Like the group ended up being one of the most successful factions in WWE history. But their debut, like, that wasn't bigger than Kane. Like Kane, seeing Kane as a kid, the way they had built up that storyline, and then when he shows up and you just hear, oh, that's gotta be Kane. Like that, they actually built toward it. You know, like the Shield eventually became, like, to me, that's hindsight is 2020. Like the Shield debut wasn't actually cool. It was three dudes who showed up in Archer tactile necks trying to powerbomb Ryback through the announcer table.
It's not the Shield. But it's not the Shield.
No,
and any list that has a top five like that didn't have the Undertaker, then I'm not listening to that list. I don't want to hear
Taker. So they did 25. Usually they just do top 10 for these videos. They did 25. Undertaker was way back there. Taker was like 13, 14, something like that.
Okay.
Well, the reason I saw it is Jericho retweeted saying "Hold my beer" because he was what, like number 10 on the list.
Yeah,
I was there for that. That was Chicago. That was the Allstate Arena.
That was an awesome one. Like, you have such a build-up. You have him right away with The Rock. Like, that one's got to be higher. I know he doesn't work there, so that's probably part of it, but come on.
You've been wrestling down south with guys named Juventud.
Well, and then what, again, like, Jericho, what's wild is they started him with The Rock, and then he almost flamed out of WWE. Like, it took him 6 to 8 months to really kind of, you know, grab on with the audience, even after that great, and it was a great debut. You know, he went toe-to-toe with The Rock, like held his own on the microphone with The Rock, which at that time in the late 90s, like, dude should have been over right away. I'd have Jericho up there for me. Kane is another one that I would put up there for me. I wonder if this one would have been higher if they didn't screw up the camera of it. And that's AJ Styles. Like AJ Styles, the fact that the camera was on Roman Reigns going, oh, who is that? What's going on over there? Like squinting when he takes off the hood and you hear this loud pop because everybody knew who AJ Styles was at that point. Like that was, had they not screwed that up, much like they screwed up Edge spearing everyone when he initially came back, whatever it is about guys making debuts or re-debuts at the Rumble and WWE, not being able to figure out camera angles is beyond me. But
you gotta see everything 20 different times.
Yeah, AJ Styles would be up there for me because that was a legitimate surprise that they did a very good job of keeping the lid on, even though everybody knew everyone in the world had interest in AJ Styles.
Yeah. So going through that list again, I mean, I'm just trying to find something that's bigger than The Undertaker. And I'm as close to me as Brock Lesnar. I think that was an incredible debut. That was with Paul Heyman, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
With him as his manager.
But that's another one. Like, is it like we're playing the result there? Like, yes, he's a big deal, but like we're not really watching OVW. Like, it's just, yeah, it's a big deal down the line. But that night, was it that big of a deal? I don't remember that being.
I just never seen anyone look like that before.
Okay, that's fair.
I mean, I guess we're used to it now. I've never seen anything like that before. I mean,
where his muscles have muscles,
his traps have traps.
Yeah,
you know, like it was like, oh my god, like the next big thing. And that, and during that time, for SmackDown, they needed something, right? Because you're trying to get post Austin, post Rock,
right.
And you needed something. And so I just think that, but on this, to me, the Undertaker is at, for that to be down the line, I think is just typical WWE. They're just pushing Seth Rollins because he's probably going to be the next champion. It's like, oh, that, and they're showing Shield footage with Dean Ambrose.
Right.
So you know that that's what that's all about. That's just revisionist history. And for The Undertaker to come down, and I remember him in WCW as Mean Mark Callis, and I'm like, man, he's walking really slow. And he was led by Brother Love. He was the manager. And it's like, okay, this is ridiculous. Another gimmick. And it ends up being the greatest gimmick of all time.
Yeah.
Surprised the gobbledygook was not, on the list, you know, hatching out of the egg.
Yeah, right. Exactly. In WWE, I mean, that's the kind of stuff they love. That's when you know Vince's hands are off. Where's the goddamn gobbledygooker? Where's Hector Guerrero?
They should have put him over Jericho if Vince was making the list.
That's right.
And acknowledge Jericho. He left us. You know, we don't know who that guy is.
Well, I was surprised they put Sting on the list. Like, Sting made the top 25.
I didn't like that either. That whole thing with Sting in WWE was so bad.
But I think you're playing the result.
Yeah,
the initial night when Sting showed up and gave the Scorpion Death Drop to Triple H, like that was legitimately surprising to me. Now, him losing to Triple H at WrestleMania, not surprising,
right.
Because of course he was going to lose that, because of course they were going to squander that opportunity. And then of course, like, run just the oldest members of like NWO and DX, because they were pushing the Monday Night Wars doc on the old WWE network. Like, the whole thing was terrible, but the initial night he showed up was cool and awesome. I will stand by that initial night, even though the rest of it sucked.
Like, the way they did it, like the statue thing. Cause it was one of those like, whoa, we're seeing Sting in a WWE ring. Like, that is something that you never expected to see. So I think the debut, just focusing on that, was definitely a hit.
There's that. All right.
Goldberg being in the top five is also BS.
Yeah.
Well, was there ever a time Goldberg in WWE made you excited?
No. And here's the reason why for that. So when WWE purchased WCW, guys, a lot of those old veterans are like, I'm not coming to work. I'm still getting paid by Turner. I mean, that whole thing where the invasion angle is supposed to happen, it was just horrible because, like, Nash, Hogan, those guys, they weren't coming in initially. Like, we're still getting paid. So, no, whether we come to work or not, we're still getting paid. So that whole thing where you got Booker T, which, thank goodness for him, he was the best of them. Goldberg, had some matches. And of course, we see what he is toward the end here. He's looking for like one of these Ric Flair goodbye matches now in 2023. But I mean, that's the whole thing. All those guys. And then, of course, that roster was thin. Like, nobody wanted, like, some of those wrestlers that are at the end in WCW under Vince Russo. So that's one of the reasons why when Goldberg's there, I'm like, great.
That's fair.
Yeah.
What do we have at number two?
Next Saturday night on Peacock, 1 o'clock Eastern, WWE Night of Champions. Two of the three main events on the show have been set this past week. Seth Rollins takes on AJ Styles for the new WWE World Heavyweight title, and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn defend the Undisputed Tag Team titles against Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa. So, guys, what's more likely at Night of Champions? AJ wins the world title, or Roman and Solo win the tag titles?
I think there's a legitimate chance that AJ wins the world title. Because I'm the only question I have, because this is supposed to be Triple H presented this championship as one that's going to be defended all the time. Champion's always going to be present. He's always going to be there. He's going to fight for you. And I'm ruining news and notes later in the show, but where did Seth Rollins show up this week? On the set of the new Captain America movie. This dude's part of the MCU. Like,
cross it off, Rhodes. Go ahead.
Like, so I still think there's a legitimate chance that AJ Styles still ends up being the champion, just because if there ends up being like conflicts initially that, you know, Seth Rollins can't show up because he's going to be a part of the new Captain America movie. I don't know what his role is. They're keeping a very tight lid on it, but he was seen in Atlanta.
He apparently was wearing part of the Serpent Society. He was wearing their gear, according to reports.
So what if he can't show up for a Monday Night Raw after I was guaranteed that he was going to be there? Like, to me, so I think there's a legitimate chance that AJ Styles walks out with the world title at Night of Champions.
Okay,
Afternoon of Champions.
Yes, right.
It is Afternoon of Champions, right. So at Saudi Mania, so this is, and I think for our listeners, they should already know this, but it has to be said out loud in a loud, clear voice. This is a Saudi Arabia house show. That's what this is. It's a Saudi Arabia house show. Why? Because the world's heavyweight champion is in a tag match with Solo Sikoa. It does advance the storyline, yes, it does, of the bloodline. I get that. But
you mean, did that determine who was winning that IC title Battle Royal Monday? Did that have a hand in that at all?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
The answer is yes to that. Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. By the way, the crowd goes mild. They had fireworks and everything to try to pump Ali, and like Greensboro was like, nope.
Nope, we're good.
Nope. I mean, think about it. They gave him pyro.
Yes.
Ali, can you believe this, Graves? It's Ali. He's going to take on Gunther. Nothing.
Yeah, no,
dude's the worst. I think Dolph Ziggler has a more recent victory than Mustafa Ali. Like, it's
like anyway. So I would agree with Gabe. Gabe is correct. Like, if you're trying to play a result between those two, Roman Reigns is solo as the tag team champions. Why? So Roman won't be there for that either. So keep the tag team titles on ice too. No. If anything's going to happen, it'd be AJ Styles. The answer is neither, but if I'm going to pick one, it'd be AJ.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you think about the belts, like, you want to think they're not dumb enough to also give Roman the tag titles, and then be like, oh, crap, we don't have tag titles now. But also, there's the fact they don't really care about them. So would they really miss the tag titles if they weren't on TV every week?
Their love of what the promo material would be of Roman Reigns with four championships.
With Paul Heyman with four championships.
Might outweigh, you know, keeping them actually relevant. Right. Like, I would not put it past them to put this on. So I'm assuming that the Usos interfere and somehow either cost Roman or they turn on Roman. Somehow the Usos are going to get involved in this, and that's going to be the reason we see KO and Sammy retain. But I think I'm just picturing the social media picture of like him having, you know, right, two championships on each arm as he's just got them spread out, and Paul Heyman just, you know, holding his red phone in the background. I don't know.
I know. Since we're a wrestling podcast, I've got to buy some championships and have them displayed. Because what I wanted to do, if I wish I had four championships, because I would show you what it would look like with Paul Heyman holding four championships.
Yeah, falling, be tipping over.
Falling to the ground, dying. with four championships. My tribal chief, this is too heavy. I would love to see, because that's what I need, the props to show you guys how ridiculous that would be of him calling four championships and him still, and then Roman still asking for the mic.
And then you could also gimmick it that Solo doesn't actually want to carry his belt, so Paul's got to carry those also. Oh. So you put six on him.
He's got two on the neck so he can't see, right? He's got two right in front of his face and then two on each shoulder.
And now do a promo, Paul.
Right.
With all six champions.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I am going to have a coronary because this is too heavy on my chest.
But that's the thing. For me, though, if I had to pick one way, I think it is the tag titles, because I think they can advance the story a little bit better with that. And Usos just being jealous and stretching that out even more. And because they don't really care about the belts. Like, KO and Sammy are entertaining. They're going to do their thing no matter what. So to them, it's like, whatever. If they're not on TV, we don't really care. Like,
yeah,
tag team wrestling.
Yeah, I know. That's a whole different podcast about how tag team wrestling's in the mud. Yeah. That bothers me a lot, guys. It bothers me. Yes, would that be good for the storyline? Yes. It's just like, hey, we won the tag team championships. What about you, Jimmy and Jay? What's wrong with you guys? You know, I got it done. How come you didn't get it? Like, I could see that, but that just sucks for the audience. Again, not having good tag team wrestling bothers me. But again, WWE hasn't really cared about tag team wrestling for a long, long time. I get it.
You get Lucha Bros versus Claudio and Wheeler on Dynamite next week.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
I will say that AEW puts together good matches, good tag team matches. I don't know if they care about tag team wrestling.
Right.
Like they're not telling meaningful stories with their tag team division. They're putting together quality matches.
I know it's hard to believe, guys, but there was a time, there was a might have been San Antonio, just the tag team championship matches were at the top of the card.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so if you were in Australia was big for tag teams. They love tag team wrestling. Like, so I just miss it because you can tell so many different stories. It's four guys. Mm-hmm. One-on-one, you've seen almost every finish there is, right? Tag team wrestling, there's so many ways to go around it and different options to be able to get to a finish. And I just think, it's just a waste. It really is. Tag team wrestling's in the mud.
Yeah.
I still think, I'm going to say AJ Styles wins it. They're not going to put it on Seth. I'm going to say AJ wins it.
All this hype. For Seth, boy, Seth will really be pissed off then. He is like, I've carried the company without Roman. It's been me, and I still can't win this tertiary or this secondary championship. Oh, man. My champion is Gunther. That's my guy.
Does AJ take the Good Brothers with him to Raw if he wins the titles? How does that work?
Nah, they can stay.
Okay. Big spot for them coming out to hug AJ at the end of SmackDown.
I can't stand them. They smell like Impact. Seriously, how many wrestlers have we seen where it's just like, oh, that guy again, oh, that lady again? Like, those two just don't move me at all.
See them. It's okay. You don't see them much.
If he wants to bring Mia Yim with him, I'd be cool with that. Just because, like. So when she wrestled at the house show that I went to a couple months ago here in Milwaukee, like, she was really good. Like,
yes.
If you want to bring her along, have – cool. But, yeah, do whatever you want with the Good Brothers. I could take him or leave him. And
yeah, I like actually leave him. It just don't do anything for me, man. It's just like it is an NWO tribute act or Bullet Club tribute act.
It's a Bullet Club. It's a New Japan Pro Wrestling Bullet Club that was over a decade ago at this point.
I just don't. And Carl Anderson can go, by the way. I think he's mm-hmm. fantastic. I just don't get Festus. I mean, the other guy. Festus.
Number three, Brian.
Announced yesterday at the WBD Upfront, AEW Collision will debut Saturday, June 17th. Stars headlining the show include Miro, Samoa Joe, Thunder Rosa, Powerhouse Hobbs, and Andrade. The champions will reportedly be on both shows. The United Center reported to host the first one, but that was not announced last night.
Who could say?
We'll find out next week. So, guys, what does AEW have to do to make Collision must-watch?
Well, so if Powerhouse Hobbs, does that mean he's leaving QTV? Is he leaving? He's leaving all those people behind? They're staying on Wednesday. He's going to Saturday? Or is that just me with wishful thinking?
What's Matt Schiavone going to do without him? People don't know that's Tony's kid in there. That's Tony Schiavone's son that's in those QTV videos. What's Matt Schiavone going to do?
I had no idea, Jay Hood. I had no idea that's who.
Yeah, it's Tony's kid. He's a producer back there. Yeah.
They need to not make it Rampage. And Rampage is, and we say this every week, like, if you want to watch a couple of good matches, go ahead. Like, they just try to jam so much into Rampage. And if you go on a Wednesday night and watch a taping of Rampage, like, it ends up being fine. Like, the first match is really good. The last match is really good. You have a good time. But they're not really pushing any sort of stories outside of a couple of weeks ago when they did, again, went back to an old gimmick with the, you know, firm deletion match that they did a couple of weeks ago on Rampage. But they're not really pushing stories. It's just, you can have a couple of matches. It's a way to have Mark Henry on TV, to have him deliver the one line that he delivers. Make it not that. If you make the storylines, if it ends up being where you watch Wednesday night and you hadn't watched what happened on Saturday, if you find a way to connect those two shows, that's what makes it must watch. It makes you don't want to miss what's on Saturday, because then you're not up to date. You don't know what's going on Wednesday.
So on the upfronts, when we first saw the Saturday night Collision logo, I was like, oh, God, it looks like Nitro.
No, 100%.
Because you want to remind the audience, hey, this is reminiscent of the failed brand in the Monday Night Wars.
At least it wasn't a Thunder logo. I mean, Nitro had some success, at least.
I mean, it just, all of it was a failure at some point. And Eric Bischoff would tell you none of it was his fault. It was all Kevin Sullivan. Oh, so that's fine. So, okay. So my game plan for Collision, if I was given the book, is this. And I would never get it because Tony Khan would never give it to me or anyone else. I'd say, okay, so we talked about the importance of CM Punk, right? So I think it's a work. I think eventually he's going to be on that show. All right, good. The game plan would be that Saturday and Wednesday must connect. So that means, like, Rampage, we just talked about it, right? Just ancillary, just throwaway matches, decent matches. They're not bad matches, but they don't connect to the Wednesday storyline. And it doesn't connect to the pay-per-view. So we go back to history, right? I really believe that the first month of Collision should start with the main stars. That should be it. Like, hey, it's hot. Look at MJF's here, and all the champions are here. These are hot matches.
Britt Baker, Adam Cole.
Yeah. So it feels different. But this should be, this show on Saturday should be the contenders for Wardlow, FTR, and Orange Cassidy, the contenders. They really need to stand out, because if you've got the champions and the stars, so to speak, on one show on Wednesday, Saturday has to be all these guys that don't get an opportunity on Wednesdays, meaning that I don't need to see the champions unless it's a special championship match. You don't need to see them in the ring. That means that the middle to the bottom part of that card needs to be on Saturday nights to show what they can do. You're building up contenders that way, because this is a contender show to me. And then those guys go over to Wednesday, and now it's like, oh, yeah, I saw those guys on Saturday. Yep, this guy's ready to take on FTR, or this guy's, you know, ready to take on Jade Cargill, whatever it is, right? But those should be contenders that's ready for Wednesdays. If you have the stars on Saturdays and the stars on Wednesdays, you know what that is? That's Thunder, and that failed. Yeah.
See, oh, God, to me, you just made me realize that Orange Cassidy is going to defend his championship twice a week now.
100%, yes.
Yeah, why not?
He's going to wrestle on Wednesdays. He's just going to come out in a body cast at some point. Yeah. Like, he's
Ricky Steamboat.
It's Renee at the pay-per-view. He offered her a title shot last night.
She thought about it.
Yeah, she did. Very briefly. Like, it was a little bit, but the thought ran through her head.
But you guys get my point, right?
That, like, yes.
You don't need to have all your top stars on this Saturday show. At some point, you got to build the middle of that card, like Roosh, for instance. Mm-hmm. Like, he was very impressive on Wednesdays. And by the way, Roosh,
he's very impressive every time he's in the ring.
Well, it's a work. Right. Stop it. It's a work. Stop hurting people. But
he's like Darby Allin, where he's got one speed. But, like, Darby's small enough that when he runs into you, you know, it's like, no, dude, you're a behemoth. Like, you keep running into people like this. It's not good.
I mean, he legitimately hurt Jungle Boy yesterday, and because he doesn't know how to stop. I mean, like, Roosh, this is a work.
Right. Stop. He almost dropped him on his head on that one spot off the apron.
I was like, what
do you mean
that?
Almost? I'm pretty sure he did.
I was like, okay, so guys like that need that shine. That's my whole point. And so the only reason why I say that, guys, I saw how Nitro and Thunder worked. Nitro, Thunder had the clips from Nitro, all the NWO stuff, right? And then they had bullshit matches on Thursday. It's like, well, this is no good. SmackDown's better, because it was SmackDown against Thunder back then. Mm-hmm. If you guys remember this on Thursdays.
Oh, UPN, baby.
Program.
See, I hear what you're saying, and I do think there is something to that. Like, I think back to the Black and Gold NXT, where they built everyone up to where, you know, we talk about Raws after Mania, like that Enzo and Cass debut. Like, that was such a big deal because everyone already knew who they were because of NXT.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, like, I almost wanted to be a separate brand. I wanted to tell its own stories. And I think back to the WWE when the brand split actually worked. When, you know, you had people saying, like, oh, I want to watch Raw, it's a better show. I want to watch SmackDown, it's a better show. To where I don't need the two of them connecting. You'll have champions float over here and there. But if they're telling their own stories and it has a Samoa Joe, a CM Punk, an FTR, guys we know can go, then I'm interested in that.
But isn't part of the reason that WWE succeeded, again, when they had the SmackDown 6 and mm-hmm. they actually had, you know, Paul Heyman in charge of creative.
That helps, yes.
Part of the reason it worked is because you had your own champion. You had your own secondary champion.
True.
Like, so is AEW going to create? I don't see Tony Khan creating a second heavyweight championship.
Only if Warner wants it. It's amazing, these deals, man. Before, promoters used to just be able to just put the shows out there and they do all the creative. Now television's like, yeah, these are the set wrestlers I want on this show. And this is a set of wrestlers I want on this show. And like, they have not a huge say, but it's a strong suggestion on how to be able to help get ratings. So I just, you know, I know people look at it as like, I'm going to be watching UFC and I'm going to be watching the NBA and the NHL. Like, wrestling will have its place on Saturday night. You don't turn it down because Warner's paying you for this. So mm-hmm. you just put it out there, but just don't burn out the front end talent. I don't think that's important. You can't do that, bro. You got to get your middle to the bottom of your roster to get meaningful time on TV on the Saturday show.
But from a title standpoint, like if MJF is spending all of June, you know, working Dynamite, and that's the angle he's involved in, but then Wardlow's on Saturdays, and that gets all the attention for a month, like the TNT title, and then the next month MJF's on Saturdays, and you're building up Orange and his title on Wednesdays. Like, I think there are ways around it without having to create a whole new world champion.
That's fair. But those guys can show up, but I don't need them in the ring. That's my whole thing.
Yeah, that's fine.
They don't need to, because, and when they get in the ring, make it special.
Right.
That's my thing. Because that's the problem with this company. This company is not about a lot of big time stories, long term storytelling. They're about the action, the quick action, the banger match, the 4 or 5 star match, and then like, okay, what do we do next week? So I just think that, as Roman Reigns said, yo, this is going to be filet mignon. This is not fast food. You're going to have to really get invested. I just thought it was the coolest shit he ever said, because it's true. Like, all of this is filet mignon. You're waiting, right? Like, it's pretty interesting. This is what AEW has to do. Slow down. Tell storylines. Tell stories on Saturdays that relate to Wednesdays. That's, if you have two major shows, Rampage to the side, two major shows, then that would build up to, I think, some really great stories.
Yeah, you can't have too much, to me, replay of what happened on Wednesday on Saturday. Like, you have to find a way to connect it. But, like, when you start just – when it becomes a highlight show for Dynamite, the way Thunder did, that's when it starts to fail. Like, and that's where Monday Night Raw loses us so often, because they have to fill 3 hours. Like, Monday Night Raw becomes a Monday Night Raw highlight reel a lot of times in hour three. Like, oh, here's what you just missed, and here's what you missed earlier in the show. You have to avoid that. Is it wishful thinking on my part that this ends Battle of the Belts?
Yes.
I think it's official. Like, I thought most people, it was rumored that, like, Battle of the Belts is done. Unless they just change Rampage every once in a while to that.
You don't need the special now.
Special Rampage at 4 o'clock Eastern. It's Battle of the Belts tonight.
Yeah. Like, I don't think you need Battle of the Belts if you have Collision.
That whole idea was just wrong from the beginning. Like, I understood Battle of the Belts. I understand you want to have your own Saturday Night's Main Event, Clash of Champions.
Yeah, you want a Clash of Champions, but you didn't treat it like that.
It just, you know, when you tack it on at the end of Rampage, it became a 2-hour Rampage.
Yeah.
It wasn't special. You know, like, when they had the one-off on a Saturday night, I'm like, okay, got an hour. Turner wants it live. All right, bring the cameras in. We're not paying for it. Go ahead, turn the lights on. Let's go, right? But when you tacked it on the back end of a Friday night in a random city in Rhode Island, it's like, okay, this is not as important
running,
as I thought.
Running from 10 to midnight Eastern, like, yeah.
The other point, to your point about the recap packages, like, Tony has showed he has a hard time with the clock and fitting everything in. He doesn't have space to just run recap videos. like he's jam packing these shows too much. So at least we have that going for everything.
That's and I'm hoping that continues
right.
by adding two more hours. Again, you've got 2 more hours of content to fill. They have a deep enough roster. They should be able to do it, especially if CM Punk comes back. But yeah, they've got some work to do. I'm curious. I'll be watching on June 24th if CM Punk doesn't show up on the 17th.
By the way, Brett, you talk about some of the talent that needs to have their own brand like NXT. That's why Ring of Honor is there.
Yeah.
That's totally separate from everybody else.
Do they tell stories on Ring of Honor? I haven't watched it. Or is it just a bunch of matches?
The heavyweight championship with Claudio is always a story, but mostly just matches. And okay. again, nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying that none of that connects to what could be in a pay-per-view, right? Like, you're giving pay-per-view quality matches anyway in this era. That's what you're doing, right? So, you know, that's the whole thing with ROH. It's its own brand, but at least they got hour and a half, 2 hours to, you know, have those people work, which is great. I love it.
But they also, you mentioned pay-per-views. We never know when the ROH pay-per-views are. Like, they just popped up like, hey, by the way, in 2 weeks, come watch us on pay-per-view. It's like, huh?
That's true.
So
I guess we have to look for the whatever the WWE when they have a show, just look for Ring of Honor. I guess they can tag on show.
All right, so SummerSlam, they'll have one. All right, yeah. Good to know.
That's right.
Good to know. Keep your eye out for that in Detroit. What do we got news and notes this week, Brian?
All right, so our little sad news. Superstar Billy Graham passing away yesterday at the age of 79, the 2004 Hall of Famer, debuted in the WWWF in 1975, 3-time world champion. Triple H in his Hall of Fame induction called him the first ever sports entertainer.
Okay, so superstar Billy Graham. So I saw him as a kid in the AWA, and I saw these big, massive arms, and, you know, he would get out there, and he had great charisma, had the gift of gab. But it's a very strange era, guys, because in that era, everybody wanted to be Muhammad Ali or Howard Cosell. It was weird, right? Everybody had that gift, like Dusty Rhodes and superstar Billy Graham and Thunderbolt Patterson. They all talk like Muhammad Ali and just like, you know, waving the finger in the camera and trying to rhyme every time that they speak. And I'm going to beat you. I'm going to like all that stuff. Right. I'm like, oh, my God, it seems campy today. But everyone wanted to be like Muhammad Ali. And that's who superstar Billy Graham was. So Graham wins the WWF championship. And McMahon Jr., Vince McMahon thought, oh, this is great. Look at this guy. In the dawning of color TV, you could see the tie-dye. You could see, like, his tights. It was colorful, big muscles. And Vince Sr. was like, nope, we need a baby face. We need Bob Backlund. And Vince Jr. is like, what the hell? Really? Look at this guy. I mean, he's in magazines. And we've never seen anything quite like when you're talking about Brock Lesnar, right? Same thing mm-hmm. with superstar, but we never seen anything like this. Look how big he is. No, we need Howdy Doody. We need to have Bob Backlund as the champion. And it crushed Graham because he was a short-lived WWF champion. So he kind of lost himself there. Like, again, filled with steroids. I just retweeted on GKW_wrestling, a promo he did, where he actually talks about taking steroids to get ready for a match. At nine bottles or whatever he said of anabolic steroids. I'm getting ready for this match. I'm going to beat this guy. I'm going to beat him. Like, okay, these bad Ali promos, right? So from there, he went to Crockett, went to the NWA, and he was Karate Man Billy Graham, which is he'd come out to Kung Fu fighting. You talk about sports entertainment, right? Because he lost it because he was so bad he wasn't champion, so he shaved his head. Everybody is Kung Fu fighting, and he comes out there, and that was a disaster. And really? Yeah, and he Shock went it. Through, yeah. I mean, it got over with me, but you know, that sounds hilarious. So he goes there, and his body deteriorated bad. I mean, I remember him trying to make his way back to the WWE in the late 80s, and because of steroids, his body starts breaking down. And I remember this promo. You can find it on YouTube where he's climbing mountains in Paradise Valley, Arizona. I'm coming back. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to be – and he never really was the same guy. So from the 70s to, I would say, mid-80s, he was fantastic. His relationship with Vince Jr. was off and on. I remember Graham being on Donahue talking about how Vince was giving steroids to the wrestlers, and he's the reason why that I'm in this shape. This guy has had 9 lives. He probably should have been gone in the 90s, guys, but he's been sick for a long time, but he's looking for a liver, I think, this last time. Yeah. And so he's got, but you talk about the reason why Hogan is the way he is because they saw superstar Billy Graham. Same thing with Ric Flair. Ric Flair saw Billy Graham. They wanted to be that guy because he had the charisma, he had the look, and he had five moves too. He wasn't a great wrestler, but he just looked great. And so, you know, rest in peace, Billy Graham, but he helped so many people back in the day. He put butts in seats, but he never got over losing the WWE Championship so quickly.
And you mentioned those promos. Like, if you watch some of them going through social, like, you see so much of the Hogan, the Flair, I mean, Triple H, Austin. Like, so it's like, oh, this is where they're working it from.
Yeah, I mean,
you can see a lot of that.
Yeah. But Vince Jr. saw it, though. He's, I mean, back then, like, mid-70s, he was like, this is the guy. And Vince Sr. is like, nope, we need a clean-cut, you know, crew-top, howdy-doody heavyweight champion that would have terrible promo, Bob Backlund. And so Vince Jr. didn't like it. Graham didn't like it. But, and bro, if you can look it up, I think it was maybe 3 months that he was champion before they switched it. But, yeah, it's amazing. Great story, but, boy, he's been sick for a long time. It's amazing he lasted so long because the steroids.
Right.
It just ruined it. It wrecked his body.
Some injury updates and news and notes. Bob Orton in an interview with Bill After talking about son Randy says, Randy's been training and, quote, if he feels like he's ready to go back, I think he might. But, again, he's pretty well taken care of. I don't think he needs to, and I think doctors have told him not to. Saturday will mark 1 year since we last saw Orton in the ring.
I mean, if he doesn't want to, especially if doctors are telling him not to, then he shouldn't. Like, then absolutely shouldn't. And Randy Orton has had an unbelievable career in the WWE. But if I am at the point where if doctors are telling you no, like, you shouldn't even contemplate it. Like, why would you want to get slapped in the chest that hard by Gunther? That makes no sense. Like, just stay away. So if he wants to and he gets medically cleared, That would be cool because I think Randy Orton certainly would have some sort of role, some sort of significant role with WWE. But much like it is anytime we talk about with a wrestler at this point, it's just not worth it. Like if it's not worth any sort of serious, significant injury, if the doctors are telling you no, listen to the doctors.
I would agree, but you know how this works. They all come back for one more time. Edge away for nine years, right? Edge.
Mm-hmm.
The bad back, and he came back. They always find a way back to the ring. I would like to see Randy wrestle one more time, but if he just can't, I mean, similar to Triple H, right? The doctor said, you can't wrestle. Okay, I'm done.
Right.
And Randy should be that way, too. He should be out there with a white shirt and a tie breaking up fights if he can as a retired wrestler.
Do you think if Randy never gets hurt, is Roman still the champ today?
Yes.
Yeah. Randy had his time.
And I feel like we were going down that path. He was having so much fun. He was so over. Like, I could have seen them putting the belts on him one last time.
My issue with Randy Orton is that it's not about him as creative. Similar to the Big Show, he was babyface heel, heel. That, I mean, again, bad Vince booking.
Yes.
That's the only thing that I had a problem with Randy is that they could not just stick with him. He's clearly a heel.
Yes.
And I remember those stories of, you know, Randy about to go to Gorilla and Vince taking his headphones off saying, hey, remember you're a baby face. Smile, goddamn, smile. Like they do Raquel Rodriguez now, you know, like that kind of thing.
She's wears glasses now, though. I mean, come on. We're good.
Oh, my God.
Thank you for being
development.
Thank you for putting that in news and notes. Big development in the world of Raquel Rodriguez. She now wears sunglasses to the ring.
Along with a big smile, big bonus smile. She's a heel.
Other injury news, Jamie Hayter was pulled off last night's Dynamite. Sean Ross Sapp says the injury is legit, but they did announce last night that she will defend the women's title against Toni Storm at Double or Nothing next Sunday.
Yeah, so I guess probably something that's just kind of nagging that, hey, it's not worth going out there in a triple threat match. We can pull you. We can get more heat for this match. Make sure you're rested, ready to go for the big one on Memorial Day weekend. That's what that says to me. If the injury is legitimate, just kind of something nagging, that's not worth aggravating further and putting the pay-per-view match at risk.
Do we get a title switch there if she's not healthy?
Maybe. I just feel like they've wasted that title run so much. Like, she's in the boat of Wardlow and Stark. She was so over. Fans so wanted her to win the belt, and she's just been an afterthought as a champion so far.
Well, because everybody thought that she was like going to split from Britt, right, and they never actually did it. Instead, they turned them both babyface. Yeah. So at this point, I think it makes more I would take it off of her. Like, I maybe mean, you can heat her up again, but it makes more sense to keep riding with the outsiders and put it on one of them.
Yeah, because I feel like it helps the storyline to have one of them as a champion.
Yeah.
That thing's getting good now. That whole rivalry, that's really good.
Gabe. Excuse me, the Outcasts. I called them the Outsiders because
we know what you meant.
Yeah. Yeah, like
their spray paint's green. It's totally different.
Yeah, if you combine DX and NWO and made them a women's faction.
You know, they're just a crotch chop away from being the Outsiders cast. They could just be both. It'd be NWO and DX.
Bring in Sean Waltman. God help me.
If Sean Waltman, it'll be fine. He's the guy. Put him in NWO. Everything works out well. It's fine.
Finally, news and notes sticking with women's wrestling. Medusa on Twitter, not a fan of Trish status, says, quote, Trisha set the women back and turned them into a sideshow after all the work I did to get the women respected and legitimize them as the superstars they are. She also added, quote, Trish made room for the Bella Twins and others, but I built the foundation for the Four Horsewomen. She did add that she had a long-term plan when she threw the title away.
So this is more about like Trish's career as a whole than what's going on right now, right? Like this seems like it's I understand, and we had a great conversation. If you happen to miss it, you can go back in our archives and listen. You know, we've got it on YouTube. If you listen to podcasts, you can go back and listen to our conversation that we had with Medusa about her book and about her career. It was a great conversation, but like, you didn't build the women's division all by yourself. Like Trish Stratus didn't. Like Trish had to go through some shit. Like let's just straight up had to go through some Vince McMahon shit. And she was able to overcome that and then actually have wrestling matches outside of bra and panty matches. Like what her and Lita did, like it was the next step. Like you took it to a certain point. Yes, then at some point it kind of took a half step, probably even more than that back because women weren't taken seriously as wrestlers. And then it continued to build forward after that. Like, I don't think it's a race to see who's the most influential women's wrestler that's gotten women's wrestling to where it is now. I was surprised to see her tweet that out.
Homegirl's looking for a payday.
Yeah.
Book's not enough?
No, it's not enough. No, it's not enough. Because as much as I like Ducey, I think that the thing is, like, when she was in WWE, there was hardly a women's division.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she didn't have many opponents. It was her and Sherry Martel. That's it. Lil Moolah would come in every now and then. Like, the Japanese, the Jumping Bomb Angels would come in. But that's about it. There was no real division. She's just wants a payday. You know, reason why is because she said it right here on Good Karma Wrestling. She liked to have not another run, but another like retirement. She wants a retirement match like Flair. Yep. That's all that is. That's all it is. Like she wasn't going to wear bra and panties. She told us that too.
Yep.
She was not going to be in that era where Lita and Trish and all of those women were taking off their clothes during the Attitude Era. She wasn't going to do it.
But okay. She also told us that she understood why those that did had to. Like, she understood them saying, like, okay, this is the only option.
She wants a payday. That's all it is. I get it. She wants to be back in the fold and be relevant. That's why she's very active on Twitter. That's why she promoted her book with us with a great interview, great conversation. Mm-hmm. But Ducey wants to get back and have at least one more run. And I get it. If she's healthy enough, that's fine. Some people just remember her of just throwing the championship in the garbage in WCW. Like, I remember her when she started in the AWA. I mean, she was fantastic against Sherry. But, you know, she's mad because she's not there and Trish is having another run.
Right.
And Trish is a fantastic heel. People will remember more. It sounds harsh. But people will remember more of what Trish did than Medusa Michelli did.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like, overall, like, I hate that Trish has to take the brunt of this because it was not really just on one person. It was more of the division in which ultimately falls on Vince. I'm glad Trish is getting this run. It looks like Night of Champions will be her and Becky. The reports are it's going to go past that. Like, they might get SummerSlam as well. Like, let her go out there and show what she can do in the ring. Like, I'm glad she gets this moment.
What did you boys have for your match of the week?
I thought that the Roderick Strong-Jericho match was fantastic in that I did not expect to finish.
Oh.
That was a genius. I've never seen that before.
Should have seen it coming, right? Like, he's not allowed in the arena. He's banned from inside the arena, so you go outside the arena, and there's Adam Cole.
Shout out to the security, by the way, holding up the fans and almost body-checking one of the cameramen trying to get through at one point.
Dude, those people in Austin, you could tell they're already fully croissant, drunk. Like, come on. Like, they're holding you back. Stop trying to get involved, idiots. I mean, they're holding you back. God almighty. But I didn't expect that finish, and I didn't expect that to be in the Rose Garden where that was, too, in the dirt. That was fantastic. That was ingenious. And Jericho took the pin. I like that.
Shout out to Aubrey for, at one point, counting against the stairwell.
Yeah.
One, two, no, two. Like, because there was no place for her to be up on that little, like, little shelf that those guys were on. So she's counting on the it was fantastic.
It's what we would have done as kids.
Right, yeah. Yes.
Oh, yes, yes.
The ice cream, like, they had every part of it. Like,
I like that.
I also like that, but I'll throw this out there.
Yeah.
Is Jericho losing too much?
Nope. That's a team player.
No, I agree. He is. Yep. But like, it feels like every feud is him losing.
Also, is Sammy Guevara no longer JAS?
Why do you say that?
Well, because Jericho Appreciation Society was banned from the arena. Guess who wasn't banned from the arena last night?
Oh, that is WWE booking right there. I didn't even catch on to that one.
Huh. Just
he
saying.
He had a guest pass like Heyman had on Monday. That makes it all better.
And, I mean, if he's JAS, then he's like Bryan Danielson when Danielson was wrestling MJF. Like, there's no hint of Blackpool Combat Club anywhere. Like, he's wrestling MJF. There's no hint of Jericho Appreciation. You don't get our boy, Daddy Magic Matt Menard, at the beginning of the epitome of sports entertainers. You don't get that at the beginning of his entrance music. It's just Sammy Guevara. And then he like teased a weird face turn with Darby Allin last night. Like, that was I've got questions about Sammy Guevara and his affiliation with the Jericho Appreciation Society.
He tried. And that Austin crowd was not having it.
No.
If you're going to be that guy and then you try to say, try to appeal to the audience knows you're a scumbag. For better or for that's what you are. So he's a heel. So this whole babyface thing is not going to work. Also, we talked earlier about Roosh and Jack Perry, which is I just thought was physical. And Roosh probably should be in the UFC because wrestling apparently is too soft for him. That is the case. There's a few others, but go ahead.
I'll add the ending was a rebotch, but Edge, AJ, and Ray on Friday I thought was good. The whole Ray Edge thing at the end was very odd. I'm not really sure what they were trying for there, but I think that was a good match up until that point.
The tag match last night to start the show for AEW with Darby Allin teaming up with Orange Cassidy against Big Bill and Lee Moriarty. Like, Big Bill, tip of the cap to you, man. He's out there selling his ass off. Like, I feel like the man deserves better. Like, he's out there selling his ass off. I think he can move. I think he can go. Hopefully with Collision, he starts getting better. And now that he's out of the grasp of the firm, because the firm was deleted, hopefully there are bigger and better things for Big Bill. But I thought he did a great job selling his ass off last night.
Yeah.
Broads, which ones did you have yours?
Yeah, I think the Jericho Roddy and then the triple threat, the AJ and Ray.
Yeah, so at some point before we get to June 17th, we probably should construct a roster of people that should be on Collision.
They're working on it. They got to see who's actually still going to be working there and who wants to show up.
Like,
Big Bill, but he's got to change that name. That doesn't work.
Yeah.
Big I understand. Bill
sucks.
Yeah. I understand. Well, it's better than W. Morrissey or whatever the hell they were doing.
It's like, Morrissey. Get the W out of there. You're not a hotel. You're a restaurant.
Morrissey. You're not. Or an author. W. Morrissey. Like, what are we doing here? You're not writing a column for the New York Times. You're about to wrestle freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy.
Good point. Yes. I don't know why. why he was called W. Morrissey. Morrissey's fine.
Yeah.
What, it's like Jim Cornette says, the marquee test, right? What looks good on the marquee? Big Bill or Morrissey? Fills it out more, right?
Yeah. Morrissey.
The old test. That's what it is. Big Bill doesn't get it done.
And I know he already wrestled Wardlow once.
Yeah.
But, like, give it to me again. Like, give me an actual match where maybe I think he might have a chance to win, because the last time he fought, it was at the behest of MJF, you know, when he had initially kind of made his AEW debut. Like, give me that on a Saturday night. Like, I think that could be a really good match. Like, give me him against some big hosses. And
yes.
Him give versus me, Hobbs.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Give me Wardlow without him looking like a youth pastor, too, by the way.
Yes, yes.
What's that outfit? I know it's like at the beginning, it's like, oh, he is not in his gear yet. Don't look like that, though. Don't look like that. It's enough that you got your hair cut. Huh?
It's such a disappointment seeing him. Like, he's cooled off so much.
Yeah. It's a bad job. Yeah. It's a bad job in creative.
What?
He should have his gear on because he's a big guy. And he's got a golf shirt. He's got flooded slacks and no socks and dress shoes. Okay, that's not how I want to see Wardlow. He's Wardlow.
When he initially came out last night, he was hot, though. The Austin crowd was hot for him. Like, yes, he's cooled off, but, like, for the live crowds, they're still into it. And hopefully they can find a way to capitalize it somewhat. But, again, getting him away from, I think, the QTV stuff and all that, hopefully, you know, getting him with Christian, I hope that continues to heat up over the next 2 weeks as they build toward that feud for Double or Nothing. They're building towards Double or Nothing. They're building towards Night of Champions. So much stuff going on in professional wrestling because it's year-round. And you know we're going to talk about it all, whatever happens, next week right here on GKW.